It's now been 2 years since the Lismore and the Northern Rivers floods, and it wasn't just the Northern Rivers of New South Wales that was affected. Much of southeast Queensland was affected, parts of Victoria. In Sydney, the Hawkesbury Nepean area, of course, there are still thousands of people rebuilding their lives. In Lismore, there are hundreds still living in temporary accommodation, and they will for years. There's the government buyback program, which is for properties deemed being at future flood risk. But it's a hell of a slow process across the Northern Rivers to be involved in that program. There's 3,500 homes in the Northern Rivers district which have been deemed uninhabitable. However, the most recent figures show with the buyback, they haven't even reached 800 offers yet. The 3,500 homes that you can't live in anymore. It's too slow. There's a stack of government red tape. Insurance companies are rarely fast. And it's not any homeowners. Properties, farmers have suffered huge losses in these natural disasters. Warren Davies is an advocate, is a mental health expert, and he helps victims of natural disasters like that. And I think he's frustrated by the pace of this recovery as well. G'day, Warren.
G'day, Clinton. How are you?
Good, mate. I know as the unbreakable farmer, you work with a lot of people on the land, a lot of people in regional areas who've really suffered through these floods and other natural disasters.
Yeah, look, it's taking a massive impact on those communities. Like, you know, as you were alluding to, like when we're looking at the Northern Rivers, you know, we're already a couple of years down the track. We're looking at like the Black Summer bushfires, and they're 4 years ago, and there's still people grappling with, you know, government bureaucracy and insurance companies just to try and get and piece their lives back together and be able to move forward.
It's interesting, as you mentioned, that the summer bushfires, which is, you know, 2 years further back, there are still people on the New South Wales south coast who haven't rebuilt yet, aren't there?
Correct. And, you know, I get to work in communities all around Australia, and every community that's been impacted by a disaster is having these struggles. And the thing that really worries me is these disasters are ongoing. And, you know, we kind of forget about these communities a little bit that have been impacted, because the news cycle moves forward like everything does. And all of a sudden it's to the next disaster, but we've still got people that are, you know, struggling with all this bureaucracy 4 years down the track and, you know, struggling to get their life back on track.
You've spent a fair bit of time understanding the Northern Rivers area, so Lismore, which was hit so hard in 2022 twice. What is their frustration specifically?
You know, I think was particularly within the Lismore township itself, like in South Lismore and that, where, you know, I actually made a conscious effort when I was up there to walk around the streets just to get an understanding of the, you know, the enormity of the disaster. And, you know, particularly in South Lismore, that was like heartbreaking for me to see houses that, you know, are still shifted off their foundations with security fences around them, but yet families are still living in those houses because they've got nowhere else to go. Or if they're not living in those houses, in the houses themselves, they're living in caravans with temporary accommodation, you know, temporary services. And, you know, once again, that's happening everywhere around Australia. You know, in Victoria, the floods, you know, impacted a town close to me. And, you know, there's still people living in caravans with, you know, portable showers, portable toilets, and, you know, all their furniture that they could salvage in shipping containers in the street that, you know, when we're 18 months down the track, and you it doesn't matter which community you go into. So, you know, it's a long process, and, you know, we need to really support these people, because it's the uncertainty is really having a massive impact on their mental health and well-being. The uncertainty of future, and, you know, and the longer these processes take, the more people move away from these communities, which is then adding another layer of insecurity with the, will the town actually recover with people moving away?
Lismore and the Northern Rivers in particular, the New South Wales government and the federal government has combined to put in hundreds of millions of dollars into the recovery, not just the buyback programs, lots of other initiatives. Do you fear, because you're talking big bureaucracy, that the money just gets lost, that it doesn't get to where it's needed?
That's one of the things that, you know, if I needed to stand on my soapbox about something, it is. You know, obviously there's big infrastructure within those. And look, and those Lismore floods were, you know, the scale was enormous. And, you know, there was big infrastructure that needed to be replaced. And, you know, obviously that needs to be done. But then, you know, some of the projects that, you know, that get put into these communities, you know, don't necessarily, you know, it's fantastic to have a new club rooms or a new, you know, facility in the town. But when there's people still not living in their houses, you know, what benefit is that to the town when people are at their, at their breaking point because they haven't even got anywhere to live?
The house is the bottom line in your life when it comes down to your family and the roof over your head. And I can imagine from that, you know, I know you do work in the mental health area. I could imagine, well, I probably can't because I haven't been in that position of having my roof missing. And I can imagine that if you don't know where you're going to be living in a few months' time, that the uncertainty would be such a burden on your shoulders.
It's like it is. It's a massive weight on these people. You know, it really comes home and sits with me, like when you do speaking engagements in these communities and you have people, particularly in that region, you know, or even still in the bushfire regions where people come up to you and, you know, they're they're financially, emotionally and physically spent because they've been battling for, you know, anywhere up to 4 years to try and get their life back on some sort of equal footing, and they just keep hitting, you know, brick walls, and, you know, they need to then negate that brick wall and find their way around it and try and find a new solution. So I think that's really probably an important point that for any one of those people that are listening, that, you know, they need to have the right people on their sides and or in their corner. And I've been speaking in some of those communities to, you know, some insurance brokers and that, and they've told me stories where the insurance company flatly said, look, no, we can't do anything. But then, you know, and using fine print as their, you know, as their tactic to wiggle their way out. But then the brokers have gone into bat for them and, you know, have come up with a different result. So one of the things, you know, it's like everything, you just can't give up. But it is hard to keep fighting the fight when you are, as I said, you know, emotionally, physically and probably financially broken.
We've got to keep drawing attention to it. We can't affect, I mean, to think we're talking about the bushfires from 4 years ago. We can't forget about the flood victims, but the bushfire victims of 4 years ago. Mate, thanks for your time today, Warren. I think it's just really important to highlight that there are still people battling and we need to give them some support. Good on you, Warren.
Good on you, Clint. Thank you.
Warren Davies, who's known as the Unbreakable Farmer, an advocate and mental health expert.